Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
Poets to come, orators, singers, musicians to come. Not today is to justify me and answer what I am for, but you, a new brood, native, athletic, continental, greater than before known. Arouse, for you must justify me. I myself but write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. You're joining us in the snowy central area of the Rockies. Well, it's not snowy yet, but it's coming. Welcome to the last edition of World Poetry Open Mic for the year 2016. I'm Michael Amadei, one of your hosts. I'm here with the other host and the technical producer, Mr. JT Gunter. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing really well.
Boy, did my spring go.
You would be shocked with the amount of springs that we have in the studio.
Yeah, it's, they make some really good sounds,
We've too. Actually had people walk in, and the first thing they comment on, besides our amazing studio setup, is, wow, that's a hell of a lot of springs. And
yep.
I don't really have any explanation for it.
You know, it's the only way to really do a bouncy castle
properly. Yeah, screw that air stuff.
I know. It's
air cushions.
Nah.
Springs, man. Yeah. Springs. We can make a commercial. Springs, man. Springs. Okay. Anyway, so we're here tonight to share poetry, look back on the year. Heck, we can look back on the years because honestly, at this point, they're starting to blend together.
Yes. Very true.
They really are. And then we're going to look forward to the year 2017. There's going to be some big things coming. We'll still be here, of course.
Yeah.
But there will be some larger things happening and some new developments with our show, which I'm kind of excited about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But first of all, I just want to say welcome to everyone. Let's say welcome to everyone in the chat room. Welcome to all of our listeners who are not in the chat room, because we know there are some.
That's right.
And, you know, I think looking back on this year, it's really been something. This last year and a half has been a lot of growth for me. Of course, you know, that's when I transitioned into teaching music to kids and drama. And it's been just a whirlwind of time. What about you? When you look back on 2016, 2000, you know, all of that, whether it's the show or just life in general, does it kind of seem?
It was a busy year. That it kind of kicked off after I got rehired with another company.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
That really kicked it in, and
was that last fall?
April,
or was this April
when I got
this year?
No, not this year, the previous year.
Oh, okay.
April of this.
Oh, and it's pushed in.
And it's just been cruising, but oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we also, you know, I think one of the things that happened for us is we started making different styles of progress. I think we kind of collectively read some books and, you know,
yeah,
a few things that we really resonated with and kind of made part of our DNA and our friendship and what we do.
Yeah.
And I think it's really changed a lot. And so I think that's kind of informed the scope of what we're looking at in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And continuing to do what we're doing now also,
yes,
but just making it better.
Yeah.
And getting better at it.
And venturing into other aspects of things that I've never done.
Hey, you know what, man?
It ought to be fun.
Everything we end up doing, we've never done the first time.
You know? That's true. So, that is true.
That was a little bit of a strange sentence to say, though. By the way, can I just throw out, today I had my last concert of the Christmas season.
Yes.
And I bombed it. I was so bad. I was so bad today. I haven't been that bad in decades. And you've heard some bad performances. The Rhythm and Reason to Believe last week. What the hell was that? That was good compared to what happened. It was the Bad Wedding Band Revisited tonight, unfortunately. And you had me. I was a wedding band at your
Yes, you
wedding.
Were.
Yeah. That wasn't that bad, though.
No, you were good.
I loved it. Yeah, but today was not good.
Well,
by my standards anyway.
See, and that's good. The thing. It's that personal standard that you and I have of being, I got to be it.
Well, so that's number 29 in 2.5 weeks. 29 performances.
Wow.
Holy cow. So at
one
any
out
rate,
of 29 ain't bad.
One out of 29. But this is our last show, in case you haven't been noticing all the ridiculous clickbait titles I've been putting out everywhere. more just for fun than anything. This is the last show of 2016. We're going to be taking the next 2 weeks off.
Yes.
Mostly to lick our wounds.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. You know. And then, of course, you know, we'll be back in the new year.
Absolutely.
Kicking it off. And we already have some really, really great stuff for that show kind of being worked out. So yep.
January 6th.
That's right. January 6th. It's also the day I go back for to start school again.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I get out on Wednesday.
Okay.
And then I'm out till the 6th.
That's so weird to start back on a Friday.
Teachers.
Oh, okay.
Teachers come back Friday. Kids start back on the Monday.
I'm like, why would you have kids come back on a Friday? That would be just insanity.
We're not doing. Oh, gosh, that wouldn't happen. Yeah, they're coming back, and then we have 2 weeks until playtime plays are being performed. So, at any rate,
we're busy.
We're gonna stop talking about all this stuff, and let's let's head into our first segment here. We have a lot of the great people that we've grown to love on the air already. And we're looking forward to hearing their work. So we want our first segment, first group of five. Here's our two rules. One, no hate speech. We just, homie, don't play that.
Yeah.
And number two, no word porn. So if you're going to use things like colorful language, use it in an artistic way, in a way that gives the poem merit and doesn't just, you know, it's not just a throwaway phrase or something you use to get through the difficult spots. Our number is 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
I need 5 unique callers or Skype ID, World Poetry, Open Mic. Give us a call. So I gave her, I said I was sorry. I sent her flowers at work. I bought her jewelry. I sent her chocolate. I sent her a bunch of, you know, cards saying I'm sorry.
Not enough.
What else can I give her?
World Poetry, Open Mic.
And you know what? That did do the trick.
Yes?
Yeah. No,
good.
It didn't, because I'm single, obviously.
That's
it's
right.
A bunch of crap. It doesn't happen.
Don't. We. Okay.
You know?
I am really ready to throw the computer out the window.
I understand.
It's a small window, but I'm ready to throw it.
Well, you know what they always say. You say, failure is not an option. It comes bundled with Windows. That's
Oh, too true.
Oh, man. Yeah, so basically, for everyone who was just trying to kind of follow what was going on, we decided to open Skype, and then Skype started acting really slow. Actually, we'd had Skype open, because we already has everything set up. Skype's fine. And then it suddenly stops working, and then JT says, well, then we need to reboot, let's restart the program, because it'll take a second.
Right.
We restart that, and then it suddenly freezes us out and starts updating. And then we can't do anything after that. So once it's done updating, we launch it again, and it won't work. So then we have to turn the computer off and reboot that and reopen Skype. And then it was moving so slowly. So at any rate, that's what happened. So thanks for sticking with us. We've got it up and running now. We've got 5 great people lined up for you. Actually, the all-man version.
Oh, that's right. This is
segment.
This is a male. Do we have a submission,
sir?
We
do, and it's also a man.
Oh.
Yeah, imagine that. Imagine that.
This is a manly segment.
That's right.
Sorry.
I can feel the hair growing on my chest now. Now, Barbara did make me feel significantly guilty
Okay.
By us saying, well, hey, we don't have a segment of six. We have a segment of five.
Yeah.
So, but I just feel guilty now. So it didn't actually change anything. So I just feel guilty. I was raised Catholic. I understand. You know. So this one is from Ned Wan, but he sent me a message about it. It's really cool. And I want to share the PS first.
Okay.
And he says, pardon me, dear Michael, for all the melancholy you have seen in my previous two sonnets that he's sent us over time, as I've celebrated my 10th anniversary of depression without taking a single antidepressant pill. So he's working through his depression through poetry, which I thought was very cool.
It's really cool.
So this one is called Sighs of the Tortured by Nadwan Hamed. Soothe me with a gaze, whether it was kind or rough, as my peaks are no more enough. As I am lost and trembling in that maze, I no longer fear disgrace. When I feast my eyes on thy face and inspect the wonders of their mine, getting drunk in thee without wine, yet only in my heart I shall continue this chase, as thy true lover should never change his tide, even when he buries his embers and hides. A savior that silently takes thy side, the one who will demise shall bide, a redeemer who sets you free and gets crucified. And that was written on the 12th, or I'm sorry, on the 4th of December of this year at 10:42 p.m. in Iraq. And that's from his second divan, Belle de la Faculté. That was Nadwan Hamed, Sighs of the Tortured. I'm always a really big fan of Nadwan's work, and he's always, you know, he's just one of those people that you just appreciate so much, and he's going to be helping us with one of the big things.
Yes.
That's going down this next year. Super psyched to have him involved.
It's going
to
be a lot of
fun. It's really a big thing. So, and I'm not saying this, but I'm not just saying, like, it's huge. This is going to be the biggest thing. No, it really is. It's actually going to be one of the biggest things, I think, that I've ever been involved in.
Yeah.
You know?
Same here.
I'm
very
super psyched. Should we announce what it's going to be in January? Or should
I think we can. I think we can.
Because we were going to try to hold it together and keep it quiet until it's all together. And I think we've got things kind of lined up, starting to get lined up. And we're going to definitely do a sprint for it by the end of the year to make sure we get things locked in. But then I think I'm going to ask people on the air for help.
That works.
Together.
Yeah.
You know, because it belongs to all of us.
Right.
So, all right. Anyway, we'll talk about it more when we come back from the break. But let's go right now to our first caller, all the way from the United Kingdom. It is Titus. And it'll give us a second while we resume the call, because Skype
has to travel across the ocean like three or four different times.
Mm-hmm. Let's go into space. Right now it's running the Iditarod.
Let's try this one.
See, does that work better? No? Okay.
This is amazing.
Well, it's
I love it when it updates. There's so many little bugs that you don't know that are or are not going to work.
It's funny because you would think that they would kind of consider the idea of having having a phone that actually works is good. All right. So
let's see.
Titus, give us a second. We've actually done everything we can. We just have to kind of wait in suspense at the moment.
So I can move this. I can hit the button.
All right.
But I can move it.
Are you going to do the John Madden play-by-play?
You know what? If I could draw circles for everybody, I would. But
did you really? Okay.
Yeah.
Tell you what I'm going to do.
Let me try. I'm going to just test something real quick.
All right. Do one quick test.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll get something ready to go here.
Okay. So that worked. Placing you back on hold. And then I'm going to go back to Titus. And let's see if I can resume the call. Why aren't you resuming the call with Titus? Is it a Skype thing?
Okay. So let's do this. Titus, it's taking us a long time to resume the call with you. Should we go to Dennis and then try back to Titus?
Yeah. And Titus, if you can... If you can, call us back. We will take you live after Dennis, if that's all right. Please, for whatever reason, the connection is
just
not
crazy.
Working.
It's just crazy.
So weird.
Okay, so let's just move through it. We're in this together. So, so Titus, give us a call back. Let's go right to Dennis. Dennis, I know you were waiting to hear Titus. We all are waiting to hear Titus. We're going to come to you. Are you there, sir?
No, no, not yet. Because I click too fast for my computer to... Hey, there he is.
Hey, Dennis. How are you?
Well, hello. I'm doing fine. I wish Titus could have got ahead of me, but that's okay, too. I know he'll be back.
We'll get him back. Trust me. It's one of those things where it eventually starts. Sometimes feels like we're starting to run a show called Computer Problems. You know, Computer Problems Tonight. Listen in while two guys melt down.
You got the right guy to help you out. JT
is a
wonder.
That's right. He is.
Thank you.
And we're very happy to have him here. And I'm the only
you
one.
You sure are.
I'm sure your wife is happy to have you here, too.
She is.
She's here as well. Yeah. Okay. All right.
All right.
So,
our last show of the year, huh?
That's it.
Well, this is exciting.
It is. I have no idea what I'm going to do with myself next Friday. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll figure something out.
I'll probably be sitting home crying myself to sleep. That's probably what I'll end up doing.
That puts a real damper on the show, you tell us, huh?
Well, but you know what, though? I mean, it might be good fodder for a poem or something. Or maybe I'll start calling everybody individually. Are you missing the show tonight as much as I am? No.
You're welcome to call me, buddy.
Hey, I appreciate it, Dennis. What do you have for us?
All right. Let's get this show started. I thought I'd read a cover poem tonight. The title is The Boy Who Laughed at Santa Claus, written by Ogden Nash. In Baltimore, there lived a boy. He wasn't anybody's joy. Although his name was Jabez Dawes, his character was full of flaws. In school, he never led his classes. He hid old ladies' reading glasses. His mouth was opened when he chewed, and elbows to the table glued. He stole the milk of hungry kittens and walked through doors marked no admittance. He said he acted thus because there wasn't any Santa Claus. Another trick that tickled Jabez was crying boo at little babies. He brushed his teeth, they said in town, sideways instead of up and down. Yet people parked every sin and viewed his antics with a grin. Till they were told by Jabez Dawes, there isn't any Santa Claus. Deploring how he did behave, his parents swiftly sought their grave. They hurried through the portals pearly, and Jabez left the funeral early. Like whooping cough from child to child, he sped to spread the rumor wild. Sure as my name is Jabez Dawes, there isn't any Santa Claus. Slunk like a weasel up Martin through nursery and kindergarten, whispering low to every tot, there isn't any. No, they're stopped. The children wept all Christmas Eve, and Jabez chortled up his sleeve. No infant dared hang up his stocking for fear of Jabez's raveled potty. He sprawled on his untidy bed, fresh malice dancing in his head, when presently a scalp a-tingling, Jabez heard a distant jingling. He heard the crunch of sleigh and hoof crisply alighting on the roof. What good to rise and bar the door? A shower of soot was on the floor. What was beheld by Jabez Dawes? The fireplace full of Santa Claus. Then Jabez fell upon his knees with cries of don't and pretty please. He howled, I don't know where you read it, but anyhow, I never said it. Jabez, replied the angry saint, it isn't I, it's you that ate. Although there is a Santa Claus, there isn't any Jabez Dawes. So Jabez then with him, prudent them, said, yes, there is, and I am him. Your magic doesn't scare me, it doesn't. And suddenly he found he wasn't. From grimy feet to grimy locks, Jabez became a jack-in-the-box. An ugly toy with springs unsprung, wherever sticking out his tongue. The neighbors heard his mournful squeal. They searched for him, but not with zeal. No trace was found of Jabez Dawes, which led to thunderous applause, and people drank a loving cup and went and hung their stockings up. All you who stare at Santa Claus, beware the fate of Jabez Dawes, the saucy boy who mocked the saint. Donner and Blitzen licked off his paint. End of poem.
Well, Dennis, that was a great read, and what a great choice for the last show of 2016 and for the week before Christmas. I love it.
Yes. Well, Ogden Nash is quite a poet.
He is. Well, hey, Dennis, we appreciate you so much, and what we're going to do is I actually have a story that kind of goes along with the poem you just read, but because we're going to have Titus calling in, do you mind if we separate the call right now and then I can wait for him to call in and then we'll talk more on the return engagement?
Yes, I just want to wish everybody happy holidays, whatever you celebrate, Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever it is. I hope you have some wonderful holidays. And I'll step aside and say God bless and welcome, Titus.
Hey, amen, brother. Thank you so much for everything.
Thank you, Dennis.
All right, bye-bye. All right,
bless you, Dennis. All right, so that was Dennis calling all the way from Michigan, the Mitten State. And now we have someone going straight in. Let's just answer it live.
No
Here
problem.
We go. We have Titus on the line, I think.
It's connecting.
It's taking. Okay, so I wonder if there's actually something going on with
it.
It
might be a little bit of a delay. Oh, really?
Well, it looks like he's still there.
No. It dropped.
Okay, do you want to try calling him?
Or
have him call back?
Have him call back.
Titus, give us a call right now.
Try it now.
Try us again.
We'll take it live.
So I'm gonna tell the story and then I'll get cut off here and that's cool. So I had the other day a second grade class come in and there's this little girl came up to me and hugged me really tightly. And she seemed really sad. And so I asked what was going on. She said that her mother had just been put in jail and she was living with her aunt and she didn't know if she was going to be, you know, where she was gonna be spending Christmas or if Santa was going to know how to find her or anything. And she asked me a lot of questions about this. And so, of course, you know, you answer as best you can. And it's something I realized I've become recently over this last week kind of a professional question answerer or source of information about Santa Claus and the way things work, which is really tough because you don't know what parents are telling children.
Very true.
You know,
it is very true.
So far, it's been held together. So far, it's been held together. Let's see. He's calling back again.
We've hit
the answer. Let's see what's going on.
I'll try this.
Taking time.
It's so weird.
Is it just hanging up on him?
It is just hanging up, and I don't know why.
I don't know what to do. Okay, let's do this. Titus, we are so sorry, my friend. We're trying to figure out what's going on. I'm watching it right in front of my eyes. We can't seem to open your call. Okay. Let's do this. Let's head to Steve. I'm gonna talk to Titus. We're gonna see what we can figure out. Even if we have to pull it from another location, we'll figure out how to do this.
Oh, let's see if we
let's
can
try it one more time.
Yeah.
One more time.
Come on.
Yeah.
Oh,
he's there. Hello.
Yay!
Yes. All right. Woo. That just made my night right there. Okay.
Perfect.
What's going on? What
a How are you, sir?
Not too bad, thanks. Yeah, a bit of a problem, really. But I'm in shock now. We're through. Yeah,
it's...
How many poems are there?
Well, you know, and your connection, it's been really hard to have you get through, and now your connection's really choppy, too. I'm wondering what's going on. Huh.
Oh, you're very clear. You must be beside.
Well, yeah,
never mind. I think I might just have to get through one quick, because in case we get cut off.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. So I'm going to be quiet if you want to try, and then we'll just see how it goes.
Okay.
All right.
Please, just tell me this exercise in Woodage. I thought, well, let's see how it goes. And it's called Last Words of Past Lives, and one word is called Martex. And this is, if I look down, is an ignorant preacher. And it's collected between 1733 and 1808. It's called Last Words of Past Lives. Nullity conforms to the lamps of Martex, the absolutory last words in the catafalque. It is a dachmanic, one cannot mistake if dead or not, that quite like nothing, lies as you elude this temporary gaze. Decession does, looking away, dumbfounded. Dead or not, I doubt ignorance is unfounded, since we are mistaken our findings. The Martex, these ignorance are never parted. While gaze tells me in melanic, the catalogue, the cordis of space and time hold nothing. This I know, the no showing of mistakes. The static assures we claim mindful mistakes, the organic matters relating are founded, adventitious enough to mistake it for nothing. We are left with an idol, generative Martex who shows us this tender. Then a catastrophe, a term applied to mind like this. We in ourselves see more, the blind man's gaze, the depurate, the soul of the imagined mistakes, the identity of bad being, what and catastrophe. I feel to seer, a form is now found in liquescent, agrees to learn that this Martex can no longer go himself, he is to think. I can put to you the isometry of nothing when something was to be last gaze. Extreme measure mispricing as the marks he leaves. The labor of one whose rotten mistakes show that he was to be the joke's wanted treasure. A solar his own hides a catafalque. A priest best known to himself keeps it safe where the lost archives are. Nothing. That is. And confirms the man who is sounded does not decarnate himself. To assure us the gaze of which no amount of loss can be found, state show the adornment of life that is in our text. Seek the account nothing of loss and so gaze the idea world. Our text was ignorance, mistake, tobacconal, who's founded a past life, cut dark. Thank you.
Well, the good news is we didn't get cut off, and I really appreciate you reading that. We were able to understand, I think, about, what, 65-70% really?
Yeah.
Of that. Our connection is so weak, and I want to let you know that up front so you don't go listen and go, what the hell? They were just pretending everything. So I just want to let you know. But at the same time, we're the stuff we did here, we were really happy to. But I definitely want to apologize to you for the issues we're having. It's not on our end. I don't know what to do about it.
Hearing you loud and clear, Miss Meister.
Oh boy! there's something happening. There's something happening on the cross wave here. Probably with the updated Skype we kind of were forced to put in here. So we'll figure out what's going on here in the future. And if you could, next time we do a show, or if you're inclined, you know, I'd love to have you read that again as well as something, you know, so we can all really hear it.
Sorry about that. Anyway. Okay.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. I appreciate that, sir.
Thank you, Titus.
All right. Thank you.
And
happy holidays.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Bye.
So that was Titus from the UK, who should have been the first caller, and is strangely just the third. It seems like everything's... Didn't I tell you when I came in today, everything felt harder today than it had to be? I went to go get coffee on the way here. Usually a two-minute proposition. I've timed it. 2 minutes, yeah. Right? Yeah. Same place. Looks empty. It's fine. I come around the corner after the drive-thru. In traffic. I had three people in line in front of me. 18 minutes later, I pull away. What the hell is going on? All right. Let's just keep this going. Let's go to a lawyer who will help us. Oh, yes. I can feel the power coursing through my veins.
No, that's what's legal in Colorado, would you feel?
Well, all right, fair enough.
How are we, gentlemen?
We're well. Wow. We are. We're fighting our way through here. We feel a little bit like Captain Ahab right now with the giant octopus, but I think we're going to come out okay.
I have faith in you. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy New Year, yada, 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 to one and all. And enjoy the time off. You guys deserve the break. And it is good to be back on. It's been too long since I've been here.
It is. It's great to have you back on. How are you? How's everything been going?
I am doing the best I can with what little God gave me.
You know, that sounds like my answers.
It is the best of times. It is the worst of times. It is the spring of our hope. It's the winter of our discontent. In other words, it is a Dickens of a life. And this is one of the few crowds where I can use that line and people get it.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's very true.
Exactly. That's the thing I like about it, too.
With that, I have a new piece, which I would like to read.
Okay.
And as I said in the chat rooms, this is the point in the program where everyone can go and grab a sandwich, a cup of coffee, walk the dog, et cetera, et cetera. And with that proviso, this is a piece called I Am From. I am from the eastern and western shores of the wild, unquiet ocean, from the banks of both the Hudson and the Lee, from the green and rolling meadows and the towering canyons of steel. I am from the hungry hopes of steerage hard won upon these Yankee shores, but at such a harsh and heavy price. I am from the proud children of exiles filled with constant striving to return to the home and hearths they never knew. I am from that slender spit of sand surrounded by the sea, shaded by Gotham's shadow. I am from the pre-dawn gray between yesterday and tomorrow, suspended between past and future dreams. I am from that land between anticipation and arrival. End of poem.
And not a single person went and got a sandwich or walked the dog during that. That was fantastic, Steve. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. But you are always much too kind. Well, always much, much too kind.
All right. Well, you know, I try to call it like I see it. Maybe I'm just a kind-hearted person. But I don't think so. I thought that was fantastic, and I think everybody agrees with this. So it's always such a pleasure to have you because I know it's kind of few and far in between, but you always have a home here with us, and we're always happy to see you and hear your work.
Well, thank you. And since I haven't called in a few weeks, I want to thank you for including some of my pieces in the anthology and congratulate all of the excellent writers who fill all of the other pages. And I am the few pages that make everyone else the top of the class. thank you all. And again, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, and Happy New Year to one and all. I will see you on the Epiphany.
We'll see you then. Thank you so much, sir.
Right.
Have a
Take
wonderful
care.
Holidays. All right. Goodbye.
Bye.
And that was Steve in New York, one of our one of our longest supporters. Dennis being our longest supporter.
Yeah.
Steve's not that far behind.
No, he's not.
And Titus was our first poet of the month.
That's right.
We just knocked down the three people who've been on the show probably the longest that is still calling on a regular basis. Isn't that cool?
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's really cool. So let's head down to a place I like to call Kentucky, which also has the largest underground cave in the world. It's 300 miles long, to which Philip says, like many other things in Kentucky.
It's spelunking great.
Yes, it's so spelunking great here. Here, sit down. We'll listen to some spelunking poetry. All right.
Right. Well, actually, on that note, sir, I will happily forfeit my privilege to or right to read, whichever that may be, for a little round of reverse the mic if anybody's interested.
You know what? Always interested. We'd love to hear your work, but we're always interested and have fun with this one, too.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, I figure it's the holidays, and I didn't know that, you know, it seems like there are not too many people who showed up, so, you know, let's have some fun then.
Hey, okay. Why
and
not?
Always feel free. Why not? And always feel free to answer as seriously, as silly, be as irreverent as you like, and also feel free not to answer. So here we go.
Okay.
And this first question, it is the longest, and I will return to it if you wish, if you want to think about your answer.
Okay.
So here we go. A benevolent alien species arrives on this blue and white marble planet, staying only long enough to remind themselves of their own technological foibles and global insanities. What question or questions would you ask if they consented to answer anything? And always more than happy to repeat things, and we can return to that one at the end of all the questions if you wish.
So,
I basically just summarized the day the Earth stood still.
Yeah, you totally
the original.
Did. You totally. Nektu barada Nektu. That's right.
And we can return to that one, unless you really have one off the top of your head.
That's a great one. Do you have one, JT, before I go?
I think I do have my question.
Okay.
I want to know how they traveled faster than light.
Oh, that's a good one. Interesting.
So do we only get one question?
Oh, no. It'd be question or questions. So, right. I mean, because I just to be fair, I mean, you know, who really wants to only have three wishes from the genie, right? I mean,
that's true, man. That's
true.
Jerk genies.
And I know you guys are smart enough to go, my first wish is for an infinite number of wishes. You know?
Like, bam! No one's ever thought of that before.
That's against the rules.
I remember when I was a kid thinking that, and I was like, why the hell did no one else think of this? Is everybody else stupid?
And if you want to wait. Or
no.
I've got it.
So I'm going to second JT's question because that is something of concern. Also,
sure, it's interesting.
I would like to ask how they terraform planets to be able to survive on them, or if they do, and if they don't, what do they do instead?
Yeah.
And then the third one I'm actually going to ask, of course, assuming that they're not human, but they are benevolent, asking them how they actually kind of keep their society and their culture together. Are there different factions, or, I mean, how do they handle interplanetary, intergalactic culture and society?
Sure. And how did they become universally benevolent?
Exactly.
Yeah.
How do you have that kind of power and that kind of technology and then not become the assholes? You know, like,
you're right, yeah.
Which we had a problem with in Europe. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Well, right. But I think the interesting thing, at least, and this is just me responding to you prima facie, is I think that is a necessity before we ever become interstellar.
Oh, yeah.
You cannot become interstellar until you have universal benevolence and war is truly a thing of the past. You start thinking of technology for its other uses,
uh-huh.
And that gets into a whole huge discussion
Philip.
Yeah. So good. I'm so impressed. We don't have to go back to that one. All right.
All right.
So load them up. Here we go. Something a lot simpler. What animal best reveals your own personal traits, characteristics, and so-called druthers? And I hate that word druther, but anyhow, used it.
I use it at least 10 times a day. now, Philip, let me ask a question because I know JT's going to ask this question. Does it have to be a real animal, or
no.
Can it be a mythological creature?
It can be any animal you wish, absolutely.
Thank you, Michael.
All right, go ahead, JT.
It's a dragon. Totally okay, a dragon. Good. I hoard things. So, and it's not just items, it's people.
Ooh.
Yeah. So,
interesting.
I hoard people, and I get very protective of those items. And it's a very general item type.
Philip, you should see him when he feels like the people close to him are threatened or insulted. Man. I've never heard someone get that loud. It's hilarious. I die laughing.
He becomes lethal suddenly.
Oh, it's amazing.
Who are you?
I was laughing because he doesn't care who can hear him, and it's the funniest thing in the world.
Yep,
it's time to go. It's time to throw down. I understand.
Yeah.
I respect that, though. I totally get it.
Yeah.
Sir, did you name an animal, Mr. Amadeus?
Well, you know, I'm kind of torn. Part of it is...
I'm already an animal, I know.
Even though I really dislike them, part of me thinks a ferret.
Okay.
And the only reason... I dislike ferrets because they run around a cup and they act like it's impressive.
Okay.
They're snake rats, let's be honest. But yet I do things that are kind of the equivalent of running around a cup, and I'm like, ha-ha! And I act like it's impressive, too. And maybe the reason I really don't like a ferret is because it reminds me so much of myself.
Hmm. Absolutely. And that's why, you know, the aliens haven't destroyed us, because they think it's amusing that we find that amusing. I mean, it's just...
You know, maybe that's it. So, but then I think my other answer could be, you know... A vole.
A vole. That's interesting.
No,
and
I'm
as far
just,
as I know, that
I'm
is not
kidding.
A mythological
that's
creature
a, that's
at
a,
all.
That's a bunch of crap. No, I actually have them in my backyard right now. That's the only reason.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
I had a bunch of voles show up. I didn't even know they were in Colorado.
Oh wow!
Seriously, voles. There's voles there. Like, that's not a rat. That's a vole.
Right.
No, you know, I don't really have an answer. Maybe I'll say the closest animal is, you know, I've actually had someone say, multiple people say, a gorilla.
Okay.
The way I kind of like.
Yeah,
know,
I could see it.
Yeah,
okay.
Like the silverback gorilla kind of thing.
Okay.
So,
no, I got you. Yeah, yeah, I'm definitely a polar bear without question.
Yeah.
Okay.
I could see that, actually. That's a good description. All right, so there you go.
Okay, here we go. And this one, you know, answer, don't answer. I don't know if I'm even being rhetorical or it's a poor attempt at being humorous. Is it still Schrodinger's cat if one does not open the box? And I don't know if you pronounce it Schrodinger or Schrodinger. I'm not up to date on the physicist's name.
Yeah.
But is it still his cat if one does not open the box?
You know, what do you think, JT?
Well... If it's his
group answer,
yeah,
we want to dial a friend.
If it's his box, the object inside, whether it's still there or not, would be his.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
That's interesting.
Well, maybe.
So,
maybe. I don't know.
But
and I think, and really, and honestly, and I'm not, I'm, you know, I was, it is somewhat funny, but then it also, I think, reveals some things.
Yeah.
I think it kind of reveals how well you are acquainted with that concept of the cat.
Yeah.
You know, so in answering it, the irony is it's such a simple question in a way, but then I think it's sort of misleading or counterintuitive, because then you start to examine what really is this cat that is being described by this concept or metaphor. And, you know, I don't know that there's really a right or wrong answer, to be honest. I don't know.
I think, honestly, it's kind of funny because you can go in the physics philosophical direction where you say something along the lines of, you know, no, it's not necessarily Schrodinger's cat because we don't know there's a damn cat in there anyway in the first place. And second of all, it could be an ex-cat, which does not make it a cat. Makes it a corpse of a cat. It's entirely different.
And then I think, right? And then I think, yes, sir, go ahead.
And then there's the part of me that's just like, okay, so we're talking about the cat in the box unacted upon. The way I look at the world is, all right, well, I'm going to act upon this thing to figure out what I need to do. So I'm just going to kick the damn box and see what happens.
Interesting. And saying, I honestly believe it is not Schrodinger's cat until you open it. Simply because the way I at least somewhat understand quantum physics, it doesn't collapse into reality until that moment.
Ah, okay.
So,
I can see that too. Yep.
And I think that's where it becomes misleading and kind of, I don't know, I don't know, it's a really tough question. And it really, it's also a really complex topic. It's not easily answered, so I don't know. I don't think there is a right answer.
No, there really isn't. But it's a fun. The thing it's about Schrodinger's cat is it's a really fun thing to kind of get into. I will say, if we're going to talk quantum physics and we're going to open a box and whatever I really want to perceive is in there, how is it too much to ask for a box of tacos? I mean, that's really.
At least you're receiving
something. I promise to wrap it up in a very pretty package for you, sir.
Is it a cat in the box or not in the box? Or is it dead or alive? Then you open it, and it's a box of tacos, and you're like, I don't care about quantum physics. This is just fantastic.
This is just fantastic. Well, I tell you this. We'll go from quantum physics to more typical sort of Euclidean or everyday physics. In 1931, upon what recently completed man-made structure, could one jump and reach terminal velocity?
Okay.
And so I can repeat the question.
1931, what object can you jump off of and reach terminal velocity?
Yes, sir.
Okay. JT, do you have one?
No. Not right off hand.
Let's see, 1931, I'm sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, what is it? The Empire State Building.
Boom! You got it.
I was going to say Empire.
You got it, sir.
You just need a long runway. That's all you need, right? You need long runway and gravity.
Basically, yeah. And it's the first one that theoretically, if one were to jump or you drop something, that object that is falling will reach terminal velocity. It will not go any further if it's only gravity alone that's working its effect or magic on that object.
Obviously, yeah.
All right, here we go. Awesome. And if there's too many questions, just tell me to shut up, and I will.
Okay, let's do one more, because I think we're running a little
more. Okay, one more, and then we'll be done. All right, here we go. This is it. Off the top of your head, what are the three strangest things you can think of that might walk into a bar? Note, the joke in this case is irrelevant, because there isn't one.
JT, do you want to go first?
I don't have anything offhand.
Okay. Strangest things that could walk into a bar.
The three strangest things that you can think of, whatever they may be, top of your head.
Okay, let's see. An inverted giraffe. Pee Wee Herman and Gary Busey. Done.
Oh, my God. Wow. That sounds like a party. Let's go. Anything with Gary Busey and Pee Wee Herman in the same room, I can't even imagine.
I kind of want to throw that party now, Philip.
Right. I'm there. Heck yeah. Let's go. Well, I appreciate all the answers. You guys are a hoot, really. I truly enjoy the playfulness of banter. Really great. And so glad that I didn't call in last night, because I was – 4 sheets to the wind. Anyhow, I'm sure you might have detected that Michael.
That made me smile, man. Very good-natured laugh. Yes, just so everybody who knows what we're talking or listening is knowing what we're talking about. Last night I get a message from Philip. I had just finished conducting a bunch of 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds, and 5-year-olds in a Christmas concert. And I pull out my phone and I see a message from Philip about, I guess there's not a show tonight. And I said, it's Thursday. So... Yeah. So yes, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, and that's my crew. That's the right age group for me. I'm just like, yo, where's the show? Where's everybody?
I heard they were handing out achievement trophies. No. Hey,
all
Philip,
right, good
so
deal.
Much,
cheers, and cheers. Looking forward to the return engagement as always.
Absolutely.
All right.
Thank you.
All right.
Sir.
We'll talk to you.
Cheers. Too.
Thank you. Cheers. All right, man. We got carried away. I'm looking at the timer going, holy cow, guys. Well,
sorry.
Philip, that was great. Thank you so much. All right. We always like to reverse the mic ones. It's mostly because the questions he chooses are hilarious to answer.
Yeah, they are. They're good.
Those. All right. Let's go to the funniest place on earth, otherwise known as Pennsylvania, and visit Jim. How are you?
Funniest place on earth.
Yeah.
You have no idea.
We're just laughing all the time here. Just laughing all the time.
Thanks. So how you guys doing?
Doing well, man. How about you?
Pretty good.
Awesome. How was your week? What happened? Anything cool?
Went out Christmas shopping. Well, I took my girlfriend Christmas shopping. I watched. She bought.
Yeah. Yeah. I know how that goes. Well, actually, I guess I don't know how that goes anymore. But, that's a good thing. I'm okay with this, by the way. All right. So, Jim, here's what I'm going to do. We'll save our banter for after. I'm going to give you the stage and let you read, and then we'll talk afterwards. Sound cool?
All right.
All right, buddy. Thanks a lot.
Okay. The poem I have today is called Nativitas Impolita, translated Unpolished Nativity. Four candles for the waiting, one for the day Joshua came. The God who would be man, born in a stinking cave, entered unto these shadow lands, veiled in a darker shade of light. End of poem.
Very nice, man. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Liked it quite a bit. Okay, so now we're back. Now that we've done the read. Appreciate that. Always love your work. So you went shopping. Did you see anything that I should consider buying for a friend or a family member?
Well, which family member are you talking about?
Well, you know, all of them. No, I'm kidding. That's not true. I don't know, like a sibling or a sister-in-law would be a good one.
Well, if they're younger, maybe teens or.
Well, I don't have a teenage sister-in-law, so that doesn't.
Well, there is a thing called Five Nights at Freddy's. So, okay. Like a video game.
Yeah, I've heard about that. Sure.
I got my girlfriend's daughter a lunchbox.
Really?
At Freddy's. We saw it over at FYE.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. That's a possibility.
And while I was looking around for stuff to try and get my sister, who lives in Massachusetts, she's in the Gone with the Wind. And I'm looking for this. I'm looking for one of those pop vinyl figurines.
Yep.
Yeah.
Apparently, they had a limited edition of Rhett Butler and Scarlett O'Hara.
Wow.
Cannot find them.
Ooh.
They don't even make them anymore.
Oh, man.
They say, what am I going to get her?
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah, apparently she's into Doctor Who now. Her husband is also big into Doctor Who, so I'm thinking, I decided on what I'm going to try and get them.
Okay.
Him, I'm going to get a Doctor Who pocket watch.
Okay.
Which I think you'll appreciate. And my sister, so she can wear, get her a fourth Doctor's scarf. There's a 6-foot one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
the multicolored one. There's a 6-foot version, so she can just wear it with anything and it will automatically be associated with Doctor Who.
Yep. I know that scarf all too well.
Oh, really?
Yes, my favorite.
Wow.
I wish I could get a 10-foot one because 12-foot is just a little too long for me.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it would touch the ground and then drag several feet behind me.
You know, that kind of sounds a lot like my idea. I was thinking about getting a friend of mine who's a big Game of Thrones fan, the head of Ramsay Bolton as a gift. But then I realized giving heads for Christmas has always been kind of discouraged. And I seem to forget every year.
Yeah, I wouldn't try cannibalism either because...
We did that during the first season. Jim, we did that during the first season. We had an intern. We did a studio lock-in, and I suddenly, personally, I take responsibility for this. I kind of created a panic in about 15 minutes after realizing we didn't have any food in the studio with us, and needless to say, our old intern, Andy, took one for the team. Yeah. He's still hanging up in Studio X, though.
Yeah. We saw something today... Over at Five and Below.
Okay.
It was The Walking Ginger Dead. Yeah. It's a gingerbread cookie mix.
All right.
But it's called The Walking Ginger Dead.
That's, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Man.
So, back to the cannibalism thing. You want to freak someone out?
Yep.
You walk up to them and they say, you know how they say you are what you eat?
Yes.
Well, I'm human.
Yeah.
All right. Wonderful. Wonderful. Hey, man, we got to get moving, work. Actually. I'm sorry about that. I was looking at the time here.
Okay.
But let's talk about it more during the return engagement. Are you going to give us a call back?
No, unfortunately. I have to work again tomorrow morning.
Oh, no way. So, all right.
Yeah, we got to get the salads made.
And that's not a metaphor. No, okay. So, all right. So, Jim, first of all, you know, thank you so much for sharing tonight. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Yep. Happy New Year. Yep. And we'll talk to you in 2017, January 6th.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you as well.
All right, buddy. Thanks so much for everything.
Yep.
All right. Bye. Good night. And that was Jim calling all the way from Pennsylvania, the funniest state in the union. All right.
Okay.
Now, I'm not going to tease Poet of the Month for January.
No, there's no need.
And everybody knows who the Poet of the Month was. Yeah. Emily Dickinson.
Yes.
Emily Dickinson. This is normally where I would tease the Poet of the Month.
Right.
But I'm not going to do that because we're in December. So let's just get on with it. That was a long segment.
It was a long segment.
Because of all the other stuff, the phone difficulties and everything. So let's just get into a second segment. Let's try to move this fast. I have a feeling it's going to be a really short one. Five more unique callers, 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic.
What's up, y'all? This is One Bad Monkey, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic. Yow!
Man, it's been a while since I got to talk to him. Since he moved to Nashville, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Yes,
that's right. To work as he's working on being a songwriter and everything like that. And he's a great songwriter. I really enjoy a lot of his stuff. That was One Bad Monkey coming from Denver, Colorado. Someone that we've all known for many, many years. We had him in the studio back in the day, KZKO, 2012, 2013, we had him come in the studio. It was 2013, I think, at that point.
Yeah, I think we just transitioned over.
Yeah, we were just there.
Wow.
And, man, it's been a while, huh? We first came to this studio in 2014 in the springtime.
Yes.
So we've been here almost 3 years
doing
it here, which I got to be honest. I mean, the studio is fun. It's so much nicer. Doing it at a house, don't you think?
Yeah,
it's just very
cozy.
Cozy. It's controlled, and especially during the winter months and everything, it's nice when things are really cold outside, like they are right now.
Yeah,
and we can just kind of hunker down in here and be spending this time and sharing it with y'all, which I think is really cool. And I never even say y'all, but that's how it goes. So let's try to keep this. And not like we had any control over that other stuff, but I'm going to round out some edges on my end. Let's try to keep this segment a little bit tighter. Now, I don't have a submission for this segment.
Okay.
So, we're just going to go straight to the callers. Let's hit Sinister in Missouri first.
Sinister. Hi, there, fellas.
Hey, how you doing, Sinister?
I'm all right, man. Just hanging in there. I'm not sure if I know he shows he's on, but I'm not sure if he's listening, so I'm going to do something else. I was going to do my... my poem for the challenge, but God, there's so many words in there, it's just a pain in the ass. We're going to go with something else.
Okay, sounds good.
Losing the war of love, attrition's death. Which extremes will the war set stake when the doors come flying off? You're stretched like overused strands of nylon, cutting the core of a decimated disaster. Cerebral canals itch violently, anticipating storms, monsters restless, wanting to devour you. Deplorable, raffish transactions absorb reason, spun up draft and devilish tsunami-sized rants. Maniacal metaphysical atrocities shipped from ports of derelict, plague-addled ports of insanity. Far removed from relatable is your retaliation, diegetic, relentless fuel to arson-led fires. Stretching my safety just a push through a ledge, my swan dive to finite, deplorable ends. Can you stand about face to witness crucifixion on all variables 4 degrees from truth and lies? So bright to disdain and lowest wattage showing, homicidal instigations brimming to a head. Scholarly view and short-sighted of what's amiss, and broken reasonings soft-headed in mind. Inhaling liquid vapors to rationalize the control you imagine secure, always elusive. Remorse is tattered blankets burnt. Bloodied sheets of discarded embryos and nebula. Long since lost faith in mystery, as well as myself, approaching ill-fated paradigms realigned. Omens found in reactions to rash, odious acts of externalization, not quite in denial. Weighing me down more, not even a need to try as a sideswipe by all the spite. Keys to free my agonizing prison. Razor, cut me free to release mortal confines. And just the countless decisions, I regularly find a lack of worth. Truly, I don't possess. Slip on shiny walkways, covered in our vile engagements, till I no longer care to smile. I do my love, hope only lies in suicide and peace.
Very nice job, man. Very, very nice.
All
right. Thanks for that. Thanks for calling and sharing everything. Are you going to be calling for the return engagement?
Every night at home, I'll try.
All right, man. Well, hopefully you can. But if you can't, I want to say thank you for everything you've added to the show this year. Happy holidays to you, and we'll see you on January 6th when we come back. Okay.
All right, fellas. Have a good one.
Hey, you too, brother.
You too.
We'll talk to you later. Thank you, Sinister. And that was Sinister Spittle from Missouri, the Phantasgrate State. I'm just making my own up.
I was going to say, yeah. It sounds like you're making things up, but that's okay. But
you know, it's okay, man. I have faith in my ability to make things up. Now, I would just like to add something to say it over the air.
Okay.
Okay? We can't pick up people's calls when someone else is on the line reading, because that would mean us putting them on hold and answering your call. So that means, if you want to just take it or put her on there,
I can take it.
Take it. Let's put her on hold. So for instance, okay. This is what it would take. So say I'm reading a poem. Go ahead and do it. And so I'm in a flow right now. And then suddenly, this happens. And this is why we don't answer during phone calls.
It's okay, Diane. If you're listening, I have you now on hold.
Okay. We got you on hold now. Just stay there.
You hung up. it dropped. It probably
She's
dropped.
On her cell phone.
Okay. So the signal probably dropped it.
All right.
So. but Diane, we'll take you live.
Okay, we'll take you live after we go to Barbara in Connecticut. Okay,
Diane, there she is.
Barbara, don't hang up on us. Are you there?
I'm here.
All right, wonderful. Hello. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm coming into this male-oriented existence here, you know.
Yeah, this is definitely where I feel like we're living in a bizarro world right now. I have to be honest with you. This is bizarro world poetry open mic.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Oh, wow.
It's bizarro day, I have to say.
It is. It's pretty incredible.
You sure it's not Friday the 13th?
Yeah, and I'm going to try and put back the magic.
Okay. Okay. Please do.
Please do. Yes.
And I'm going to read my poem for the Garden of Poetry and Prose, if you ever get over there. The prompts this week were intention and Paris, and who wouldn't love those two words? So okay. Here goes. Following your intention. She wanted to go to Paris. It was always her intention. She decorated her room in cornflower blue and posters of Paris showing the Eiffel Tower. She dreamed of one day walking down its boulevards and eating crepe Suzette's in one of its outdoor cafes. She imagined walking through the Tuileries and seeing the little kids floating their homemade sailboats in the fountains. She read Madeleine and pretended she went to school in Paris, dressed in a blue and white smock dress. She watched Gigi and danced the streets of Paris in the turn of the century and dreamed of being wooed by a rich and handsome man while living in an elegant but shabby apartment with flower boxes on the windows nestled in a hideaway cul-de-sac. And then she met a man who brought her Paris in a photograph. His photo on the bridge in Paris thrilled her. He wooed her in letters from afar, and he promised her the world. All she wanted was to be in Paris. But she fell for him, and he took her to other places far from her childhood home. Some of them were frozen wastelands, and some were warm wastelands. Still, she hoped that someday she would go to Paris, he had promised her. So she waited patiently as her life got more and more complicated. Paris seemed like a faraway dream in a fairy tale she had spun in her stuffy Queen's apartment, but it was always her intention to visit Paris. And then it happened. They planned, and soon she was settled on the airplane and in the air flying over the cotton puff clouds, using French butter wrapped in foil. And soon the clouds cleared. It was not Paris, but Amsterdam. And she fell in love with this watery city, loving the food and the people and the way bicycles were part of the traffic. She ate Edam cheese and 6 slices slabs of bread and eggs on everything. Yet there was still this yearning to move on and see the city of her dreams. But they moved to Brussels, where the buildings were gilded and you could see almost everything in one square. But the urge to see her chosen city grew so large, it filled her every thought of every moment, even as she ate pommes frites, until they departed. And at last they arrived at the airport and motored down to Paris. And then it was there, the tiny streets and the wide boulevards. Café au lait in bed with croissants. And they climbed the Eiffel Tower, she and her lover. She was Gigi. She was Madeline. She was in love. And Paris embraced her and her lover. She was in love with Paris, and the reality overcame the dream. She wrapped it in her mind. I would always think of that moment as a Manet painting with the plump-cheeked women and attentive men, and she on the arm of her lover. The painting of her time in Paris lives in her heart, and always when she remembers her life with her now departed lover, it is that time in Paris when they were young and in love. It was always their intention to come back, but life got in the way, and Paris would have to wait, perhaps forever. End poem.
Transcontinental. I really like that one. Thank you, Barbara. That was very nice.
You're welcome. It's my little,
I've often,
female intrusion into this sausage party,
it's a sausage fest, that's true. But it's also because it's the time of year, it's, you eat warm. But that's weird. I'm going to stop.
Wow, stop.
That's not where I was going. I had no intention. And then I suddenly realized Philip's listening, and
right,
now we're done.
We're
okay.
Done. So, just blame it on Philip.
And then I was going to say, I've written poems about, meeting a wealthy, rich, handsome man in Paris. But mine definitely went down the other track where I just went, why am I doing this? What is this? What's going on here? I don't know. He's a nice guy, but I wish he'd leave me alone. It's not the same. Not the same thing.
Well, you could have, a woman who would
A rich woman.
Yes, a rich woman.
Oh, that's
like
what I need. I need a sugar mama.
Yes, you do.
You think that's what I do? I look like? I think I'd be the worst kept person in the world.
Nah.
You think so? I'm far too.
Nah.
You think so? You think I'd be good at it?
I think you'd be okay.
You think I'd be
okay. Yep.
Can I have $100 to go play?
You don't even need to do that.
Like in the Gene Kelly movie. I forgot the name of that movie now.
Oh, that's true. You know, it's funny. JT has an extraordinary amount of confidence in my ability to be a kept man. Do you think I'm good enough? Do you think I'm influential enough to be able to find a sugar mama and convince her to pay for me?
Yes.
That's all hilarious. You need to do, Michael, is read her a poem with your voice. That would do it.
Go up there and go, there once was a man from Nantucket.
A lot of women like that voice.
One, but
it's your poetry voice.
It's my poetry voice.
Yeah.
Hello, missus. I've been told to act like a little boy.
That would not be it. Just letting you know.
Barbara, thank you so much. Are you going to be calling in for the return engagement? I assume so.
Yeah, I will. I'll call in. Yeah, I don't know what I'll read, but I'll call in somewhere.
Awesome. I just want to handle the calls from Diane here. I just want to get this out of the way.
Diane needs to get on the. Excuse me.
It's okay.
I'm getting all excited. I'll definitely. But if I know, happy holidays, guys, and the whole thing. And,
oh yeah. Happy holidays to you, Barbara.
Yeah, thank you. I have no idea what we're doing this year, but, anyway, let Diane get on.
All right.
She should call now, Diane.
Okay.
Her call dropped.
All right. No, they didn't.
Okay.
No, it didn't.
It okay.
did not. We put her on hold. Okay, yeah. Let's just keep
going. All right.
Okay. Thank you,
take
Barbara.
Care, bye.
Bye. That was Barbara in Connecticut, breaking up the sausage party. Is their tagline. Breaking up the sausage party in the Union.
Hey, look.
It's Connecticut.
Doing it live.
Okay, ready? Hit it. All right. Now, don't drop the call, JT.
Okay, I won't
don't
drop it.
Don't drop the call. Diane.
No, you guys, it's the Wi-Fi here, guys. I'm in Palm Beach.
Oh, it's okay. Well, hey, I'm sorry, first of all, that it's been such a mess to get through. I think with the updates of Skype, the thing we're realizing.
I'm on the phone with the radio show. I apologize, guys. I'm on a little vacation, a little weekend in Palm Beach. There's Wi-Fi here, and it's evidently not working as well as we thought it would.
Well,
can you all hear me okay?
Diane, we can hear you just fine. It is 24 degrees and snowing outside here, so you can screw yourself.
Sorry, guys. It's about 79 degrees in Palm Beach.
That sounds fantastic. But then again, you have to deal with Florida.
Okay. Santa Claus is just now starting to grill.
Okay.
Yeah.
we'll have a late dinner.
Yep. So, so are you guys just partying before the legions of alligators come and destroy and eat all of you? Is that what's going on right now?
Exactly.
All right.
So,
all right, cool.
Tomorrow we're hitting the beach.
Awesome.
I know.
Yeah.
Should I read my poem now?
No, you know, it's okay. You can keep doing this. I'm just ticking off boxes on my list. I'm like, all right, she's done this. No, I'm kidding. I'm happy to hear that you're there. That sounds awesome. That really sounds nice.
Or read my poem.
All right. Go ahead. I'll give you the stage. We'll talk after.
Okay. This poem, To Follow Barbara's, is this week's theme in the Garden of Paris, and it is entitled La Ville Lumière, which is French for the City of Lights. If we had lived in Paris, would you be able to tell from our erudite, astute, intelligent conversation? Hold on one second. Let me take you off speaker, guys. Is that better? Okay. Can you hear me? Or did I disconnect you?
We're here.
Okay. I'm so sorry. This is called La Ville Lumière.
Okay.
If we had lived in Paris, would you be able to tell from our erudite, astute, intelligent conversation that we were once happy people who lived in the moment, grasshoppers living on wine and song, and never with intention. As I ponder deep and darker things, the type of things that come to the brain in the steel gray dark right before dawn, I suddenly remembered how we dreamt of Paris, how the City of Lights used to hold fascination. Oh, the plans we held, the dreams to walk where philosophers walked, to visit the Eiffel Tower for a game of hide-and-seek, which was piqued by morbid thoughts. Forgive me, I keep getting distracted, to sit entranced watching the can-can dancers pirouetting across the Parisian runway, but still fighting to see if the Hilton would ever open its doors. And did you see what we saw before we knew what it was we thought? Sometimes a verse takes on a nonsense vibe, which always happens when I dream of Paris, dream of you. Who would have been fretting at the backwards driving crazy Parisians? Like us crazy Americans, afraid I might steal your thunder. But things would abate as we listened to familiar Disney tunes sung in French in a European madhouse devoted to decadent American splendor. If we had been able to turn dreams into reality, would Paris have brought some life to extend the long ago party where life used to be a song sung in unlimited verse but lived on limited time? Next time you're in Paris, please wear something for protection. I did, and when I dream of Paris now, I see us no more, which should lead to despair, but instead reveals a future that I've learned to embrace with equanimity, waiting for the next train where love isn't speeding into me like a bullet from a stray gun, but is moving slow and easy on a good vibe, thus a way forward without thwarting the ultimate penetration of a soul on fire. We once traversed labyrinthine, narrow streets cobbled in the language of love in Paris. But eventually we would have wrought another Waterloo, better to have bled again. I wish you could have been my Uriah, but when I dream of Paris again, when I dream of seeing you in Paris, I see you bent over like Rodin's thinker, where the thought you are left to ponder, left to forever ponder is only, je ne sais quoi? Sorry, guys, I really screwed that one up. I'm in party mode, forgive me.
You're in party mode. I'm always in party mode. Now,
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Now, that being said, you have now convinced me to travel to Europe only while wearing a body condom. So that will... that will be my wardrobe of choice. Now, my question is, should I wear that on the inside or the outside of my clothing?
Only wear it where it counts, honey.
Well, okay.
It counts everywhere. If you've seen the merchandise, Diane, you understand this is the full package.
And the internet just reconnected, and I just got you back on radio, so I get to hear myself.
Oh, well, I thought I was hilarious to a bunch of people. Now it's just one person.
So, Mike, just you may decide whether or not to have a beard or not.
I didn't say wear the beard. No, okay. All right.
Okay.
Diane, thank you so much.
All right, guys. I'm listening to you, and God bless you. We've just started the fire. We're about to grill some food.
That's
so
fantastic.
I'm very sorry for this disjointed being a pita
again.
Oh,
no, that's just fine.
And
that
I love
great.
You all, and happy 2016. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Guess what? Y'all are returning on my birthday.
Ooh.
Oh,
well,
no.
Yeah.
I'll be 182. I know.
That's fantastic.
Life is so exciting when you're living backwards, hey?
Yeah.
I know.
Just looking backwards, no forwards. Business.
I know. That's January 6th is the 12th day of Christmas. That's when I'm expecting 12 lords a leaping.
Okay.
Tell Santa.
All right.
Time is running out. 12 lords a leaping.
All right.
That's what
can we just get you a bunch of Prince Albert piercing pictures and send those to you? That's. I'm sure he lapped a time or two.
No.
All right. Thank you, Diane.
Merry Christmas,
Merry
guys.
Merry Christmas. Thank
you. And you have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas, okay?
We'll do too. You too.
All right. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Woo. Well, that was peaceful, tranquil, kind of like an Enya album. That was Diane in Florida.
That was really weird. Okay.
We call that contrast. Sarcastic contrast.
Sarcastic contrast. Got it.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. So now let's go to someone who's going to completely hand us our asses in sarcastic contrast. It is Don Hagelberg from California. Don, how are you?
I'm here.
Well, that's good to know. I'm glad you're actually here. That means we don't have to scramble around and try to figure out what's going wrong now.
Oh, that's so reassuring. Believe me.
So how have you been? We haven't heard from you in just a couple weeks, right?
I've been listening, but I haven't been going on air.
Sure, understood.
So my voice is not good.
Oh.
So listen, holidays. To my Christian friends, Merry Christmas. To my Muslim friends, Maulidan Nabi. And to my Jewish friends, Hanukkah. And this last one is going to be around the subject of this poem, which is titled Vorpistu. Vorpistu für Ruth Weiss, mit Liebe. And where are you? Once a child of the Germanic languages, then pumped up like a tummy ache, having swallowed English. What language do you have about what you spoke now that you speak all lush and liquid? What bits of your whisper pool in Blake's ears, to melt his stone, to melt his wax, to melt his soft version of a hipster down to that size, handable by your giant set of eyes which hold the magnifying lenses by which you step back and forth. Sad like your eyes play plaintive sax, and all the words of your vision are heard in deep down improvisation. Queen of survivors, queen of inspiration, your word notes harmonize and create the timpani of jazz. When Minnie's Can-Do Club, the last club to beat down the walls of separation, the walls of segregation, with musical hammers and compressed blasts of horns of air, queen of words, the phrases you wrote, record in vinyl 78, the play, the description, not only of yourself, but also of your time and of your generation. Call and response, very swift. Your Majesty, very, very swift. And some footnotes. Bobistu is Yiddish for work. Where are you? Ruth Weiss, an escapist with her immediate family from the horrors of the Nazi conquest, subjugation, and extermination, adopted the small case spelling of her name in order to remind her not to become a Nazi-like, cruel blowhard. Blake, which I mentioned, is a reference not only to William Blake, but also to Ruth's life partner, Blake. And Minnie's Can-Do Club was the last jazz club in the Fillmore section of San Francisco to resist redevelopment. This program of redevelopment sold out the residents, leveled their homes, and built the area up for the upper middle class. Ruth Weiss was the most memorable modifier of Poetry Night at Minnie's Can Do Club in the mid-1970s. And I chose this, even though I have read it before, because Minnie, well, Ruth Weiss has had a section of her work discussed by Dr. Al Filreis on MODPO, which is a television online program about modern poetry. So thank you for putting up with the long winds and gyrations, guys and gals. Good night and happy holidays.
Wow. Thank you, Don.
That was wonderful. Thank you so much for that.
Have a wonderful holiday, Don. Have a happy new year. We'll talk to you in the new year.
All right. And that was Don Hagelberg giving us a call from California. So it's, you know, it's kind of cool. It's just such a strong, clear delivery and unique angles. He comes at things from oblique, interesting angles. I really love that. He reminds me a lot of Titus in that way. He comes from a very kind of an angle you don't expect.
Yeah, definitely. You
know? To me, that's such a gift to mm-hmm. be able to do that. All right, so we have finished. That is four callers. That means we're going to be going to
the return engagement.
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 That means we need unlimited numbers of callers. They don't have to be unique callers. You can already have called in, or you can be a first-time caller. give us a call, 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic, give us a call.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
And we're back with more energy than we know what to do with. Guys, I got to be honest. I'm ready. I mean, I don't think I'm going to know what to do with myself.
Okay.
I'm ready for a break.
You ready for a break?
And it's not just the show. It's the school. It's all of it together. Well, I feel like I'm about to fall flat on my face.
Okay.
And I need to rest.
A good recharge.
Yeah. I need a good, you know, yeah, I guess so. I guess that's what it is. I've just been pushing myself so damn hard.
That's true. You do towards the end of the year.
Yeah. But I haven't been sick. I haven't gotten sick.
Which is great.
Remember, that was my goal for this year.
Yeah.
Because I usually get really, really sick, although I did kind of make up for that in May, didn't I?
You know, it's all right. That was
a weird thing.
That was a very weird thing.
And I don't anticipate that happening again. So,
Lord hope not.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
Whoa.
Anyway, all right, so we're back. Return engagement. We only have three callers, and I got to be honest, I'm a little disappointed. No, I'm kidding. I'm not really disappointed. We've got some great people here. But first, I'm going to read a short submission. The form we gave this month, because it was a short month, was a carpe diem theme. It wasn't really a form. It was a theme, although it is kind of considered a type of form in poetry circles.
Okay.
So this one is by Robert Herrick. It's a very famous one called "To the Virgins, to Make Much of Time." Gather ye rosebuds while ye may. Old time is still a flying, and the same flower that smiles today, tomorrow will be dying. The glorious lamp of heaven, the sun, the higher he's a getting, the sooner will his race be run, and nearer he's to setting. The age is best, which is the first, when youth and blood are warmer, but being spent, the worst, time still succeeded the former. Then be not coy, but use your time, and while ye may, go merry, for having lost but once your prime, you may forever tarry. And that was "To the Virgins, to Make Much of Time" by Robert Herrick. It's usually used as a description when someone's trying to talk about a carpe diem poem. That's a very famous one that they usually put forward as something kind of in line with the theme. So, give a shorthand to Robert Herrick, who is not going to hear that. All right.
Why not?
Oh, he might. Hey, you know, what else is he going to do right now? All right. Let's go over to Connecticut. Let's jump back on the line with Barbara. We crack ourselves up too much, Barbara. I think that's a problem.
Hi, guys. I was looking for this poem. That I wrote, and now I can't find it. I hate that. Don't you just hate that when you're looking for a poem and
is this a poem?
It's there and you can't find it?
Oh, this isn't part of a poem. I thought you were doing like an experimental free-form spoken poem. Oh, okay. I've been trying to find a poem for so many years. It's now been lost. It's like it's been it's been stuffed in a trunk somewhere, thrown on a river. My brain is working, but my mouth isn't. This is why I need a break, Barbara. The poem was awesome in my head. It was awesome. It was done.
I know. I haven't. It's just so like.
You can do like a control F if you're on a computer.
Yeah, the reason I want to read it is because it's in the anthology.
Oh.
And I just got the anthology today.
Oh, good.
So hold on.
Okay.
I'm going to have to go to my anthology.
Okay.
I'm going to bring you guys with me.
Oh, walking down the hall. Down into the.
You don't have anything else to do, right?
No, it's not like we're on the air. Yeah. That's cool. Fine. Screw it. Now I'm gonna take a nap.
No, you want some chips? I'm just gonna get my book.
Okay.
So, Barbara, here's the question everybody's wanting to know. What color is your favorite blanket?
My favorite blanket?
Yeah, what color is it?
What color is it?
I think my favorite blanket was pink, but I'm not sure because I did have a favorite blanket. I did. I think it was pink. And I actually got really angry with my mother because she washed it and it never smelled the same after that.
Oh, really?
I used to use it to go to sleep. And then after that, it didn't work. So the poem I want to read to you because I feel it's so part of this season is called Serendipity. And it's in the anthology and it's kind of to the beginning anyway. It's called Serendipity. Sometimes you find yourself in a space where you never thought you would be. A moment when you feel a kind of magic and things feel like they are touched with glitter dust in an ordinary time. This exhilaration you feel cannot be dissected by an outsider, for no one really knows when it will happen. And suddenly, the boring life you were leading has spectacularly turned into a wild experience. And dreams appear and float in the air as you calmly live this tiny and momentary thrill. No one knows it is happening to you, yet inside you feel like a bottle of sparkling water bursting with happiness and so much possibility. You have walked into serendipity, that sly operator who grabs hold of you in a second and changes a frown to a smile, moving you into a hopeful future. End poem.
I always liked that one, and it was one of the ones I really enjoyed when I saw you sent it in for the anthology. So thank you for contributing that.
Oh, you're welcome. And I love that poem too because it reminds me of the store Serendipity, where I used to take my kids for. It's like on 59th Street. In Manhattan, still there. And they had these fantastic frozen hot chocolates that they served in these big goblets. And it was like no hot chocolate you've ever had. It's like they made the hot chocolate and they put it in the goblet. And then they put, I swear to God, half of the glass was whipped cream. And chocolate shavings on top. And so... And so every time I think of serendipity, I think of that experience having frozen hot chocolate with my kids around Christmas time. And it's such a delightful story. It has all these different little toys and gadgets and just very, it's so tiny to get into the store. You would think, they would make it larger, but there's so many people in it usually that, and the counter is so full that you have to kind of squeeze by to get through.
Yeah.
So it's very,
wow,
very fun experience and very Christmassy. And I, thought of that poem and glad you liked it. So
we did very much. Thank you.
I'm glad. I'm glad you came with me on my little adventure when my daughters looked at me. What are you doing in here?
Well, I'm glad that you found it. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And enjoy your holiday. And don't sit there crying. That would be very sad.
I'm not really going to do that.
No,
No.
Okay.
No. I'm going to sit there and instead of that, I'm going to kind of laugh and say, look at how winning I am. No.
You won't all do right. that either. Don't worry.
I won't do that either. All right. Thank
no,
you,
no, no. There's lots of you, you know, that someone would like. You just, you know, yeah. you have to feel confident about yourself.
Barbara, I have no problem with the confidence piece.
Yeah, he definitely has that covered.
That's not. I actually don't have any problem. I'm totally fine. I've been single for a while by choice. So I'm good. I'm good. I mostly just joke around about it. I'm fine.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
I'm sure you do. Okay, well, have a great holiday, guys, and enjoy yourself a lot.
We'll do.
I'm getting off
you
the
as well.
We'll do.
Phone
you
now.
Too.
All right.
Thank
we'll
you, Barbara.
You
and enjoy your.
All right. So that was Barbara in Connecticut. So, JT, I have to tell you, while she was reading, I was listening, but I also looked up the webcam of what has happened since we came inside.
What? No way.
Yeah. It's a snowpocalypse outside since we came in and started doing the show.
No, I don't.
There are dangerous road conditions. I'm not kidding. There's dangerous road conditions. This is Kipling and C470, and they need chains and everything.
Wow.
Yeah, they think that there is a chance that the snow monster from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer might actually make an appearance.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Such is life in Colorado.
That is weird.
That's just what happens. All right, let's head to Titus in the UK. Let's see if he's on his phone now.
Should be a better connection.
Should be a better connection.
That is correct. I'm on the phone.
Oh, so much better. So much better.
So weird. And Titus, just as a side note, for the previous call, that was through Skype, correct?
That's right, yes.
Okay.
I've got rid of Skype. I'm going to download a fresh one if I can.
Yeah, I was going to say, see if it's just an update, but hopefully that's all it was just a...
They're having trouble on their Skype because it's not loading, so of course I thought I'd give the last show at least this year a telephone call.
Oh, well, I appreciate it, sir. Right. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for doing that.
That's right. So, well, I've been looking through some poems, but one I've not finished. This is just a chorus... Because it's actually a play cast with Diane Forbes Compton in it as Jewel. They're all goblins or elves, as you want to call them. There's myself as the wise elf, E.L., El Hal, Philip Matthews as S. Galnorian, and Barbara Avon True as Gwyllith True. So, of course, this is just the chorus. They are all acrostics, so it's going to be hopefully a brilliant... a poem. It contains all the Garden of Poetry and Prose members, so when it's finished, I'll be proud to show it off to them. It's called Secret Garden Nocturne. Chorus. Directly in front of you, a garden. Its secret does denote a worthy cause. Approach it at your peril. Stop. Just pause. Now wait a minute. To beg is to pardon. Not such parks do have a passing clause. Enclosed are clues, a length of time will harden. For instance, you, my dear, you shall accrue ordnance survey. A group you will lead, remember, fit the rhyme, the name Tule becomes you whilst you're in there. To mislead, endeavour to give praise, you should refuel some faith. Not the religious kind, that's cruel. Common people shall further share beauty, of which the gardens convince me borders may have each as many weeds, death's duty. Provides you with clues, they're taking orders. This palm I give from the Malay Gomuti offers the gentle persuade recorder's notes, which holds relevant study duty. Concealed so precious underfoot they keep, hazards of life, those people who are kind, remains to be around where love's asleep, innate and calm, which points to any find, soothes to arouse our inhibitions, trusts. Tenacious goings on conserves more light. Imagined is the moon, let dreams adjust not only time, my dear, but time as flight. Aim for tomorrow, Tule, please, you must. Pollen must collect the most precious springs, envy sought as green attachments, who'd leave an imprint on, they're the rarest things tonight. Whispers aloft, orchids allude, other studies, your species, nature sings. Nurture holds the garden, so this sets the mood, and he held... lets them into the garden. So that's how far I've got so far.
Very nice. I'm sure that that is a huge compliment to everybody in it, but I'm sure they're all going to love it as well. That's very nice.
I think I would like to set it up so it would be set as a pantomime maybe for Christmas time, and so that if I put some imaginary you know, actions in, and then of course maybe it'll get some highlights.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. I think that's wonderful. And I'm glad to be able to hear your voice clearly. I know it's a bit more of an ordeal to call us, but we'll get the Skype.
I was very angry about the Skype, and I had to come in again.
You had to come and win the evening, and you did. Yes. So thank you so much.
And as Don said, thank you for having me.
Oh, absolutely.
Such a nice man.
Always.
Yeah.
Thank you, Titus.
And to all the followers, I wish you a happy Christmas. Thank you.
Hey, happy Christmas to you as well. Thank you, Titus.
And Happy New Year, of course.
Happy New Year as well. We'll see you on the 6th, okay?
Sure. Bye.
All right. Thank you. Goodbye. And that was Titus all the way from UK for the second time this evening, although a bit clearer this time, which we're thankful for.
So there's the trick. Remember, it's Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas. I actually have done Happy Christmas for many years, too.
Yeah. It's an interesting little change in your mind when you think of it that way.
Yeah.
I forgot what I was watching the other night, and it was Happy Christmas throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I know what it is. Arthur Christmas, the animated movie.
Oh.
They say Happy Christmas throughout the whole thing.
Oh.
And it's great.
Yeah, I think it's very good. I'd rather have a Happy Christmas than a merry one. I don't even really know what being truly merry means. Maybe I'm up for a visit by three spirits.
You might be due.
Or maybe the ghost of Christmas present from Kentucky, otherwise known as Philip the Bearded Poet. How are you, sir?
Much better now since you answered my call, sir.
You are quite welcome.
Oh, well, thank you. And, you know, you certainly, my friend, if all the folks that I know, and as much as I do know you, I truly believe you are certainly deserving of a respite, my friend.
Hey, thank you.
Teaching's hard. I know how hard it is. My mother was a teacher for, like, middle school mathematics and so forth.
Sure.
And, you know, I you could just see how exhausted she was. And when I used to actually function in society, I used to, like, you know, give things like, you know, swim lessons and stuff like that, and I much prefer adults simply because kids wear me out, and all the time they're in my presence, I am nervous as can be. I think something's going to happen to them, and it just exhausts me. I'm like, just get in a straitjacket and don't move, because, you know. But anyhow, I really applaud you. I know you must be a wonderful teacher. And, you know, inspiring other people is I think, sometimes harder than being inspired yourself. You know, it's just... almost an impossible task.
I think it's kind of like both. I mean, you know, you said that in a message yesterday. I thought, you know, that really is the case. I even have that kind of written down as what I feel is one of my biggest things, is just trying to inspire people.
Mm-hmm.
And the I basically am that's something that I really take very seriously, but I also realize I need to be inspired myself to be able to do that with any, you know, convincing sentiment. So
absolutely. Yeah, and just in a real quick throw it out there for you, I think a lot of that breaks down into neurochemistry, and more precisely, your synapses firing like simultaneously, and that's hard to achieve. And, you know, athletes are great examples of how to do that.
Uh-huh.
And I get them confused. It goes from alpha to theta. You want to be in a theta state, to where that's where dreaming and thinking and the epiphanies come from, and that usually correlates to those synapses firing in these, like, huge bundles of clouds in your head, if you can, you know, visualize that. And it's hard to get there. You have to kind of train yourself to achieve that state. And
oh,
I'm
totally
grateful.
I train my to go through theta, and then I train myself to it. Most of my thinking, my synthesis actually happens when I'm in alpha. And then, but the thing, most of the grind work and the work to get it done happens in beta. And I actually very consciously trigger all of these things using binaural sound waves when I'm writing, when I'm working, and through different things. So yeah, I'm very conscious of those things. I actually work with them.
And I think maybe I have them backward, actually. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. So beta is the heavy focus one. The only reason it's actually the higher frequency. It's higher of a frequency than alpha is, but the reason it's called beta is it was discovered second. That's why. But
I
alphas,
think it's because of the Greeks, dude, but I don't want to argue.
I know, man. I could go into the talking about the musical modes and how they were inverted and all kinds of crap, but I just confused. I see people's eyes glaze over and no one wants to pay attention to me anymore.
No. I'm pulling your leg. No, I find it fascinating that I when I talk to you, what happens is I get so excited because I don't hear the crickets in the background.
Yeah.
You know, I talk to some people and I'm like, I'm just talking to myself again. I need to go home. I'm tired of playing with you people.
Yeah.
You know, but
yeah,
you really spar back with me, and I love you for it, and I love you too for that Mr. Gunther with the umlaut that I insist you have, whether you like it or not.
I insist, also, Philip. It's funny. I've been doing that since the beginning as well. So yeah. That's funny.
Yeah. Well, anyhow, it's wonderful to talk about this stuff, and I think it's important too if you're an artist. You know, that's how you find your, I don't know, whatever that is, your voice, whatever it is you do. And here we go. I'll get to it, and we'll see if I had any voice for this poem or not. It's a new one, and I think maybe the last one for this year, because I'm really concentrating on prose. But anyhow, that being said, sir, here we go. The title. A diorama cranium hosting its own ballet of the sacred and profane. And here we go. All those years ensnared by childhood sickness, innocence dubbed a frantic hare, screaming for its gnawed limb before the calm all silence bestows upon our finalities. Drubbed hard by reality and cruel, the insatiable head that will not forget any injustice, the stigmata of poetry, what I call merciless consciousness, born first by feminine mystery, the second one, stronger but sensitive and limbless, ripened into a willful sentience, pressed through mortal trauma until slowly, patiently fermented, Eucharist gone bad, perhaps. My body the same as this mind, ebbing and flowing upon glum undulant solemnity, as unspeakable pain dream drifts beneath pale paper midnights, hallucinating moons and angels and whispers from the other side, until a nurse disguised as Magdalene bears rare ice, broken up at blue estuaries along the newborn Nile before the pyramids were even an idea. Such knowledge risked near the last liminal experience where faith becomes sacrifice. My sublime loneliness from a common bed, learning how voiced vowels fill distances, the way true penitents hear their beliefs call from deserts in the night. Been ill all my life, and am certainly not well now, as I persist in a dream without conclusion, seeking some strange denouement that declines like us all, intimate as our mother's first arousal. And there it is, my friends.
Very, very nice, man. Thank you so much.
Oh, I appreciate it, Michael. I appreciate both of you guys. You're wonderful. You're a great outlet. And I tell you, I was a heck of a lot lonelier however many years ago it was. I think this is my second year with you guys. Mm. I know that I'm much healthier, happier, knowing you guys are out there. So I don't know if that's a good plug for the show, better than psychotropic medications, but you do good for people that are prone to depression, my friend.
Hey,
so,
that means a lot coming from you, buddy. Yeah. That means a lot. Thank you, Philip.
You're
really
so
does.
Welcome, sir. You guys have a marvelous evening, and have a great break, both of you.
We'll
hey,
do. You
thank
too.
You, Philip. We'll be in touch. We'll talk over the time, I'm sure.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers. See you later. And that was Philip giving us a call from Kentucky. Wow. The show was a little bit of a battle, and not from the caller's end. That's fine. They did great.
They did great.
It's just, you can tell it's time. we always have said you can kind of tell it's time because things start falling apart.
So weird, too.
Yeah, yeah. So here we are. We're getting ready to take our the last 2 weeks of 2016 off.
Yes.
And we'll be back on January 6th with the new year, a new year of the show, and we'll kind of start taking things to the next level.
Yeah.
And that's not hyperbole. We actually are taking things to the next level. So from myself, from JT, from Christine, from Ursa, from Novia, from everybody here in the studio, we want to say have a happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Hanukkah. And we'll see you on January 6th. Good night.